Baba! Let it all fall! We hold no rain for us, Lord! Baba, we want it all! Hallelujah! All the rain! Let it fall! Amen. Baba is the head of all the family that you can have. The uncles, the aunties, and everybody. The Baba is the one who can decide of everything about the family. That is our God. He is the Baba. He has everything for us. Amen. Amen. I'm here just to rejoice with Calvary Gospel Church and AIM, for Baba has left from heaven a cloud full of rain that started raining since Friday. Friday night we got blessed with two filled with the Holy Ghost. We got blessed with the Word of God. And guess what? It didn't stop there. The young ladies went home to their host, because we're hosting them in some of our people's house. They prayed with their host. She got the Holy Ghost. Yesterday we got to the park. What an awesome moment. Awesome moment in the Lord. One lady got the Holy Ghost. Amen. It has started raining. It won't stop until the Lord, our God, is happy about us. Today, get ready. Get ready. If you didn't get it Friday, get ready this morning. Get ready. And if you have nothing to this morning, come at 1 p.m. at AIM. Get it. And if after all you didn't get anything, this night is the last dance. They're here until this night. And the last dance is always the dance everybody should dance. Come and don't come by yourself. God bless you. God bless you for all you're doing at Calvary Gospel Church. I'm here to introduce this man of God, full with the love of God, ready to do even the extra. They accepted to come. 16 of them. It's far. It took a whole night to drive and almost a whole day to get here. They did it for God. They did it for God. Pray for them. And Pastor Kahozi, if I talk too long, I'm gonna take the time. Please come and just bless us. Bless us with the word.
Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord Jesus. Is worthy and deserving all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Jesus is the one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's an honor and a privilege to know God and to serve Him. And I always say it's an undeserved grace to stand before the people of God. And thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Brother Claude, for the invitation. Thank you, Bishop, for allowing us to be here. Before we go to the Word, I'm not really good with protocol, but I would like if we could pray for the Bishop wife. If we could take a moment to just raise our voice and pray for her today. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your goodness toward us. Father, we know that you are the healer. We come to lift our mother in your hands, oh God. We come to claim her healing. Father, by your stripes, she is healed. Seigneur, nous te rendons grâce éternelle pour elle. Nous te remercions, Papa. Nous prions et l'amenons, Papa, devant ton trône par le bras de la foi, Seigneur. Nous prions, Papa, que tu la touches et que tu la guérisses, Seigneur. Père éternel, que ta vertu qui guérisse coule en son corps maintenant, Papa, et que tu restaures ses côtes brisées, Seigneur. Alléluia. Et tout ceci pour l'honneur et la gloire de ton nom. Alléluia. In Jesus' name we pray, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, in Jesus' name, we all say in Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 in Jesus' name. Sorry, I just felt like I should just pray in French. It's just the way I pray better, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're just going to read two verses, and I bring the greetings from my church and my pastor, Paul Graham, back in Montreal. We're going to read Matthew 24, Matthew 24, verse 13. I told the lady Matthew 10, but I think it's Matthew 24, verse 13. Matthew 24, verse 13. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And we will read as well Genesis 7, verse 4. Genesis 7, verse 4. I'll also bring greetings from Brother Anscombe and Brother Chevis, who are my elder in multicultural ministry. Genesis 7 verse 4, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And if I will give it a title to my message today, it will be just "For yet 7 days." For yet 7 days. I'll ask Pastor to pray for the service. Hallelujah. Can we clap again our hands unto the Lord? And just give him a shout before we sit down. He is worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. And you may be seated in Jesus' name. I'm so glad to have come with a few young people from our church in Montreal. I don't know if they could stand just for 1 second, the people who came from Montreal, if you could stand for 1 second. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, I don't know, is there any visitor who are here for the first time, any first-time visitor? If you could stand, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you are visiting, just feel comfortable. You're not alone. I'm visiting too, and all these people are visiting from Montreal. So we're all going to be fine. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord led me to speak today about the church. I think I'll talk a little bit to the church, and I'll talk a little bit to our visitors, and with his help, we're going to really, we hope to do what he planned us to do here. In the book of Genesis, chapter 7, it's a very interesting moment in human history. all the earth was filled again with sin, and the Bible say all the imagination of man was continually evil, and the Lord finally decided to destroy, just to destroy the earth and to start over again. But thank God, Noah, the Bible says, Noah found grace in the eyes of God in Genesis 6. Now, Noah was just one man. But the Bible says, thank God, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And let me tell the church here today, just because of one man, he made a difference. One man, just one Noah, made a difference. Because sometimes when we live throughout our life, in our daily activity, we may find ourselves as Christian very alone in our school, in our work. But you know what? Maybe you're the one who's making a difference in your society. So I'll tell you today, just keep it up. You may be alone in your school serving God, but you're probably the one who's making a difference for that school. You may be alone in your workplace serving God. Maybe you're the only one making a difference. So just one with God, make a difference. Just one with God, make a difference. I thank God for Noah. I bless God for Noah. Because if it was not for Noah, would not be here. There is one person in your past who you should thank for, because they just stand and make a difference, and that's why you are here today. Now, the world was evil, and the Lord said he's going to destroy, but thank God for a good God. He had a plan to destroy the earth, but he also had a plan to provide a way of escape. So he spoke to Noah, and he told him, you're going to build the ark. And the Lord was very specific. He gave him the type of wood that he was to use. He gave him the length, the height, and the size of the ark. And he told him three floors, and just one window and one door, and Noah took a long time to build that ark. Some say 100 years. I believe it was 100 years. 100 years of construction, and he didn't have the technology we have today. Him and his son was building that ark. Surely people would look at him and wonder, what you doing, Noah? I'm building the ark because the Lord spoke to me. What is an ark? It's something that's going to float. But Noah, you're building this huge thing in the midst of the forest. Where are you going to find water to make it float? Well, the Lord told me it's going to rain, and it's going to rain for so long that there will be enough water to lift that boat. And they look at him, they say, Noah, have you lost your mind? What is rain? Because up to that time, there was not such a thing as rain. It never rained on the first of the earth. They didn't know what rain mean. Sometimes God will speak to us things that make no sense at all. And people around us will question us and will laugh at us. And you know what? If God says it, it's going to happen. If God says it, it's going to happen. If God says you're going to have a French congregation in the middle of Madison City in the United States, it doesn't make sense to a logic mind. But if God says it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. So Noah keep on building, and people mock him, but he keep on building. People laugh at him, but he keep on building. You know, certain things never change. You know, they will laugh at us because of our standard, but we keep on praying. They will mock us because we don't act like they do. We don't laugh like they laugh. We don't dress like they dress. They will laugh at us, but you know what? We have a word from the Lord. We have a word from the Lord. Hallelujah. And he was building this ark, and finally the ark was finished, and it was time to get in. And surely people passed by and shook their head, and Noah got his children. The ark is ready. The animals start coming. Two by two, they got in. And the elephants got in. The cows, and even the pig was smart enough to go into the ark. All of them, all these animals, they came and they got in. And Noah and his family got in as well. And, you know, there was a lot of animals in the ark. The ark was finished. The animal was, they were in. Noah as well was in the ark. And they start waiting. They're waiting. Look at the watch. Noah. Maybe say I should invent a watch. Look at the watch. One day, no rain. You know, they're waiting. A day and a half, no rain. Sunny, no cloud, and everything is just perfect. Because in the time of Noah, there were no such thing as cold. There were no such thing as a snow, stuff like that. It was just beautiful days. Second days pass away, no rain. I could imagine Noah and his family and all these animals in this ark waiting for the rain. And people start gathering outside the ark and then asking him, "Hey, Noah, what you doing in there? It's been already 2 days you got in there. Is there any bathroom in there? Did you think about that? Because 3 days, no rain." You know, it was very funny and very entertaining for the people outside. But for Noah inside the ark, it was really trying time. And I always wonder, if we were at the place of Noah, for how long we would have waited in that ark before we said, "Did I really hear from God?" 4 days came. The fourth day came and passed away. No rain. The fifth day came and passed away. No rain. One day I was praying and reading and studying my Bible, and this thought came to my mind. Said probably maybe Noah stayed in the ark because now he was too ashamed to step out. You know, there was only one window to the ark for the three floors, one window, and only one door. The ventilation system was not optimum in that place. It was full of all these animals, and they were doing all the business in the ark. Must have been smelling very bad inside of that ark. It was tempting to just, you know, step out and go get some fresh air. But God said one window. And God said one door. You know, they always say the Old Testament is law and the New Testament is grace. I understand that. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is really the picture of the grace of God from the beginning. I mean, that door was left open, not so that Noah and his son can get out, but that door was left open so that anybody who was willing can step inside this ark. I mean, those people who didn't help at all to build the ark could have just walked inside that ark and be saved as well. They didn't help to cut a single wood. They didn't help to move any part, but they could just walk inside and be saved. You know, it was trying time for Noah and his family in the ark, but it was a time of grace for the people outside. God was extending his grace and his mercy, and the same remain today. Church, sometimes it's hard to remain in the church. Sometimes it's difficult because the church is not perfect. There is a bad smell in the church sometimes. Sometimes you just feel like maybe I should just walk out. Let me remind you today, the door of the church is open, not that you can walk out. The door of the church is open so that people outside can walk in. There is not, the church is not a perfect place. The church has its own problem, but the church is the best place you could ever be. Hallelujah. You know, it might be smelling in here, but it's better in here than out there. It might be hot in here, but it's 10 times, 100 times better inside the church than outside the church. Pastor, I don't know how to swim, so I decided to stay in the church. I don't know how to swim. And let me tell you, even if you are the best swimmer, you cannot swim long enough. You better stay in the smell than try to swim your way out. God is so merciful. And it is trying time for the church. And I was like, Lord, why are you doing this? You know, grace is free. Grace is free. But grace is free for the receiver. But grace is costly for the giver. It cost the Lord a lot for us to be here. Maybe we didn't pay the price, but he paid the price. But you know what? The Bible says, once you save, you are the member of the body of Christ. And you have a fellowship with his suffering. You know, grace is free when we need to be saved. But once we become the body of Christ, we can endure some suffering for somebody else to come. You know, I'll remain in the church. No matter what the smell, I'll remain in the church because I have an uncle that needs to be saved. I will remain in the church no matter the smell or the talk because I have a friend that needs to join me inside. I'll remain in the church. I have a neighbor who needs to come in. Hallelujah. The Lord is keeping that door open. Not so that we can walk out, but so that people can walk in. Hallelujah. You know, church is not perfect because I'm inside. You know, church is not perfect because you are inside. But let me tell you this. Church is the best. You know, I was not born in church. And I can tell the difference. There is nothing like the church. There is nothing compared to church. There is nothing compared to church. I was in the world. If you are tempted to go out, my English is very limited. If it was just French, I would tell you really exactly what it is. But let me tell you this. The church is the best. There is nothing compared to church. Now, it might be a trying time for you. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Let me tell you, hang in there. Hang in there. We are in the 7 days before the flood. The ark was ready. Everything was finished. It was loaded. The people were in. The animal were in. But the Lord was just waiting. And if we look at the church today, the church is ready to be raptured. We have it all. We have the oneness. We have the baptism in Jesus' name. We have the infilling of the Holy Ghost. We have it all. And personally, I don't know about you, but I did study all the prophecy. I can't point to one single prophecy and say we have to wait for that one to happen again before the rapture took place. We don't know which day we are in those 7 days. We may be on the third day. We may be on the fifth day. We may be even on the seventh day. already. So it's not time to play around, to play outside. And let me tell you, if you're not inside yet, it's time to get on board. If you're not inside yet, in time to get into the church, because you don't know, hallelujah, without signal, without any indication, that door can just shut off. That door can just close itself. And you know what? Those people were outside that ark, and at their surprise, they saw just that huge door just lift itself up and close itself. And probably a few minutes after, they start feeling like drop of water falling down from heaven. And they were like, what is this? You could imagine the fear in their face. You could imagine the panic that they had to go through. And they were run to that door and knock at that door. Noah, open for us. We want to come in. We want to come in. But Noah couldn't open that door because he was not the one who closed it. So, you know, the door still open today. The door still open today. If you're not in, this is the day to get in. We don't have a guarantee that we're going to come back at 1 o'clock. We don't have a guarantee that we're going to dance the last dance tonight. You know what? The Lord could come before this service finished. The Lord could come before we come back here. Even if he doesn't come back, I could drop dead and die. If I'm going to dance, it's now I'm going to dance. If I'm going to give my life to God, it's now I'm going to give it to God. If I'm going to get baptized, it's now I'm going to get baptized and put on his name. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to come back here tonight. You don't have a guarantee that you're going to come back here next week. You know, this is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. You know, we can say yet 7 days today, but Noah didn't have any idea. Those people outside didn't have any idea. I bet you if they knew, they would have jumped in that ark before the 7 days. They would do it. They would do it. But they didn't know. But we know better. We know better. And as it was in the time of Noah, there was no way to be saved. There was no way to escape except to enter into the ark. The same it is today. There is no way to escape. There is no way to get out of this except you just walk into the church. You know, and the Lord built it respecting the plan, the ark had only one door. And let me tell you this today, the church has only one door. There is only one door to the church. There is no other way to get into the church. Hallelujah. There is only one way to get to the church. The way is the way of the gospel. You don't get into this no other way. You have to be born in it. You have to walk through the door, who is Jesus Christ. You cannot walk in through Buddha. You cannot walk it through Muhammad. You cannot walk it through Confucius. You can only walk into it through Jesus. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is only one way into this church. Hallelujah. And that one way is called the gospel. You still need to repent. You still need to turn around and repent. There is no other way. You cannot be saved without repentance. You got to turn around and start walking God's way. You know, before you know him, you walk your ways. But hallelujah, you have to get to the place where you die to your will, turn around and start walking into his will. And that is your first step. What you're talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the door to the ark. I'm talking about the only one door. And after you die to your will, you gotta be baptized. Where's the baptistry? Right there. Wow, right there. Hallelujah. And there is only one way in. You have to be buried. Hallelujah. In his name. For the forgiveness of your sin. Not in the title Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. There is only one way. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me tell you this. When the Bible says one baptism, it doesn't mean once I was baptized, I will never be baptized again. Yeah, that's part of it. That's just 50% of the truth. The other 50% is this. I got to be baptized the only one way. It means there is only one way to be baptized. And that is in Jesus' name. I need to be buried in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus needs to be called over my life, over my body when I'm going down the water. So if I was baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that's fine. But that is not a baptism. That is just a bath. It's not a bapt, it's a bath. And that bath doesn't wash that type of stains. You need that special soap. You need that Jesus soap. You know, if you, I don't, you need that fuller soap. Malachi 3:2. Jesus is the soap. You can't clean clothes without soap. Can you give me Malachi chapter 3 verse 2 there? I'm sorry, I'm just letting myself loose a little bit here. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner of fire and like fuller's soap. Jesus is a soap. Can't wash without soap. Hallelujah. I need to go down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the name of Jesus take away my sins. What you talking about, preacher? I'm just talking about walking through that door. I'm talking about just walking into that ark, the modern time ark, which is the church. Hallelujah. And after you get yourself cleaned, the outside is clean. You know, the Lord tell Noah, you got to put... how they call it in English? I forgot. In French, we say le bitume. You got to put it inside and outside. What is that thing? Pitch. Okay, pitch. You know, thank you. You put it inside and outside. You know, you got in there. Hallelujah. You put Jesus in the outside. But you're not done yet. You're not done yet. When you come out here, hallelujah, we pray with you, hallelujah, and Jesus come in the inside. We call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus in the inside, Jesus in the outside, hallelujah. Now you're ready for the journey. Now you are in. Now you are in the ark. Now you are in the ark, hallelujah. Now you are in the church. I have to receive the Holy Ghost. With the evidence of speaking in another tongue. Hallelujah. With the evidence of speaking in another tongue. And once you go through those steps, now you're in the ark. Now you're in the ark. And then you just got to remain in the ark. You can only go up to the third floor, down to the lower floor, but never outside. Never outside. You just stay in there. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Don't worry. The ark will go exactly where God wants it to go. Your business is just to go where God wants you to go. That means inside the ark. The destination of the ark is God's business. Hallelujah. Your destination is your business. Get inside. Don't worry. Oh, pastor, why? No problem. God is in control. Pastor, why we did that? Don't worry. The destination of the ark is his business. You just get inside and stay inside. Get inside and stay inside. He will take you to the right destination. He will take you to the right destination. You know, no matter how tough it gets, church, no matter trials and tribulation, just remember, just 7 days. Hang in there, just 7 days. Hang in there, just 7 days. The door is left open for them outside to come, not for you to go out. Not for you to go out. And let me tell you, if you are visiting here today, this is a church I know where you could repent of your sin. This is a church I know where you could be baptized in Jesus' name. And, you know, I was telling that to the group yesterday. It's just, you know, sometimes you just see those revelation in the Bible. It's not like they're revelation. It's just you were maybe sleeping and then one day you wake up and you see them, because they're there. They've been there since all these days. And, you know, I was reading through and I realized one thing. There was not one baptism in the Bible that was postponed or rescheduled. Nobody in the Bible said, I'll come and get baptized tomorrow, Bishop. Everybody was on the spot. Everybody was the same very day. Even sometimes in the middle of the night, they didn't even wait for the sun to rise. The very night they went and got baptized in Jesus' name, they understood that they are anywhere in the 7 days. And at any time, that door can be shut. I'm telling to somebody today, hallelujah, if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, don't delay, don't postpone, hallelujah. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to put on Christ. Hallelujah. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can receive it today. You can receive it today with the evidence of speaking in another tongue. Hallelujah. I'm going to conclude with just one story. Like a personal story. It happened to us last June. And I feel the Lord told me that everywhere I go, I should share this story. And last June, I took my family back home to the Congo. All my four children were born here, in Canada. And my parents never seen my children and even my wife. So it was always a desire for me, for my parents to see my children before they died. And they were getting old. And so in 2015, we started preparing for that trip. We were supposed to go in June, but unfortunately, my mother passed away in March. So we had to kind of change the plan, and I went with my wife for the burial, so we were not able to make that trip that year. And last year, 2016, we said, well, we got to do it now because mom is gone, but dad is still there. He's 80 years old now, and for Africa, it's a lot. Because, yes, for Africa, it's a lot. June arrived, and we took off. We went to Africa with all my children, and it was a challenge because everything was new to them. I mean, no internet, no electricity, and stuff like that. So when we got there, we had one plan. So when we're going to be there, we're planning to be there for 20 days. We're going to do as many Bible studies as we can with our families. So as we arrive, we start doing Bible studies. So we will be like, okay, today we will go to this cousin's house and everybody will meet there. We'll do a Bible study. And at the end of the Bible study, we'll pray people through the Holy Ghost. And then we'll do that almost every other day. But my mother was baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, a woman of prayer. And I was happy. Well, I was sad when she died, but I was happy she died saved. Now, but my father was baptized in Jesus' name, but he was not filled with the Holy Ghost yet. And time was running out. And, you know, sometimes African parents, they are African parents. I mean, they are not like American parents. African parents, I mean, you a child, you remain a child. You can't tell him nothing. You can't teach him nothing. I mean, he doesn't. So it was hard for me to preach to my father. So we were doing Bible study. He will come and he will take notes and he will read his Bible. And another thing with African parents, you can lay your hands on your father's head. I mean, I never touched my father's head. That is just how it is, you know. It's just the respect, the culture. You just don't do that. So it was almost a week before we come back. And we had that Bible study at my brother's house. And it was a Tuesday. We gathered there. My father came. And we start praying. We did the Bible study, and we start praying. And we were praying, and it became very intense. And I think we had 13 receive the Holy Ghost in that house that very day. And I look at my father. He was sitting at the end of a couch, and you could see the old man start praying a little bit more intense. You see him start sweating a little bit, you know. But I wanted to go pray for him, but you know. I'm still African, but I had my boys with me. They're not African. They were born in Canada. So I look at them. I just did. Oh man, they went on Grandpa. They lay hand on that head. Woo! Hallelujah. They prayed their grandfather through the Holy Ghost. Man, an 80 years old man. Hallelujah. Shaking and trembling. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's only one way into that church. You got to receive the Holy Ghost. And you know what? We rejoiced with my brothers, and we were like, you know, all the demons of our village, they were all defeated today. Hallelujah. They were all defeated. We got him. We got him. We got the head. Hallelujah. So, and that was Tuesday. And on Friday, I was at my other brother. And my father called me that Saturday. He called me and he said, he called me pastor. He said, Pastor. I say, yes, Papa. And he said, I had a dream last night, and I feel like I need to tell you that dream. I say, well, okay. It's a little bit late today. I'm not going to have time to come home. I'm going to sleep here. But tomorrow, after service, we're going to go for lunch. And then we'll talk about the dream. And he was all happy because he likes to go out and eat. And so I was all happy. But on Sunday morning, we were getting ready to go to church. And just about to leave, we received a phone call. And say, you got to rush to the hospital because dad is not waking up. So we rushed to the hospital. We got there before them when they were coming with a taxi and with one of my brother and two other guys. They got my father out of the taxi. We lift him up, rush him inside. And when the doctor came, and just to realize that he was gone. So my dad died during our trip, and that was Sunday, and we were supposed to fly back on Wednesday. So, but one thing just came to my mind, and I was like, that dream, I would never know about that dream. And quite honestly, I know it was filled with the Holy Ghost, but still, I was very sad, and I was, you know, I confess, a little bit upset. And so we did all the necessary and the planning. And by 2 o'clock, we went home and we started thinking and deciding what we're going to do. And then my sister came to me and she said to me, oh, Pastor, Dad told me a dream that he had on Friday. But I think I should tell it to you. I was like, oh, speak to me, sister. And then she said, Daddy said this. He said he had a dream that he was entering a meeting hall. And when he entered that meeting hall, some people welcomed him. But when he looked beyond, he saw his body outside that room. And he started being afraid. He said, what's going on here? And then those people told him this. They told him, don't worry about that. That is just a material body. What you have received, it's a real life. And where you going, they're going to give you a better body that will be better than that one. Don't worry. And then he woke up. And then he said, he started wondering, what did I receive? And then he said, I received the Holy Ghost. I received the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost is the power of resurrection. You know, you have to repent. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name. But you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have it yet, you are in a place where you can receive it. We can pray with you here, and you will receive it speaking in another tongue, just like anybody who received the Holy Ghost will do. You know, folks, we don't have so much time left. There is no time to preach any other thing. This is time to preach salvation. And this is time to get a hold of salvation. And if you are here, you didn't obey the gospel yet, you could obey the gospel today. You can leave this place with your ticket for heaven in hand. God bless you.
Hallelujah! I don't care what you have heard out there. I don't care who have taught you. I don't care what you have read. I don't care what they say out there. It is seeking sin. This is the word. This is the word. I moved the day I heard a word like that. I didn't wait. I ran to the altar. And there, I left my anger. There, I left cigarettes. There, I changed to be the man that can smile now. I changed to be the man who cannot hate no more. You want the Holy Ghost? You need it. Because if you don't, you can't even like your mother, not even your wife. You need this Holy Ghost. It will change you. Don't wait. The time is now. It is open. Please. I beseech you, like just Noah did. The door is open. Let's come to the Lord. Come forth in the name of the Lord. Come forth and see what will happen. Come forth. Receive this power of resurrection. Come forth. Come forth. Don't stay. Don't let nothing shy you away from this life. Don't let nothing shy you away from the power. Do not let nothing keep you from getting life eternally. Don't keep nothing aside of this word. Come, let it be your day. Let it be your day of transformation. The baptism in the name of Jesus, it is not anything contrary to the word of God. That is exactly the word of God. It is written. You can't have heard about any other way. It is not in the Bible. What is in the Bible is what has been read here. You read it with us. Hallelujah. Come forth and let the Lord do it for you. We love you. He loves you better. Come forth and let the Lord do His work. In Jesus' name.